At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, Derek Riley of Nevo.ie will be in to give us the latest news and reviews from the world of electric vehicles. We'll take a closer look at the global outage that caused havoc on Friday, and our book club is back. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email at any stage. The email address is techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But first, let's get into our EV roundup. Derek Riley, how are you?
Very good, Jess. How are you?
I'm very well. I've been glued to your Instagram over the last 10 days, and always, to be honest. But there's been some absolutely shocking looking cars appearing in all the colours of the rainbow. There was one that looked like a packet of Skittles. They were just far too bright. Quite ugly looking, if I may editorialise slightly. Can you talk us through what you've been looking at, and more importantly, why?
Beauty isn't the eye of the beholder, Jess. Now, let's not forget that. So recently we did the review, the Dacia Spring. You can say Dacia a couple of different ways. Dacia or Dacia. Which way would Jess like to say it today?
I think Dacia. They used to sponsor Moncrief here on News Talk, and it was the Dacia Duster. Isn't that one of theirs?
That's one of theirs. It is a Romanian brand, and at Romania side of things, they say Dacia. But yes, Dacia, Dacia, whatever way you want to say it. But they have unveiled the second generation of the Dacia Spring, and that is Europe's most affordable electric vehicle. The one I was reviewing was a Safari Beige, if you like, 1987.
Mm. Okay.
Four-seater, super light, which means super efficient, about 220 kilometers worth of range, and should be coming in starting underneath €20,000. So those more affordable, small, electric, urban and suburban runarounds are starting to come to market.
Okay, and what, like, are they impressive? What's the initial, like, where do they sit in terms of the hierarchy of the market at the moment? Because there's so much out there.
Yeah, nearly 100 different electric vehicles in Irish market at the moment. So this will be right at the very start. Originally, the MG4 would have been our most affordable, along with the Fiat 500e, and that would have been mid to early €20,000. So this is bringing it into a brand new price bracket. This is an A segment, which typically isn't a segment in Ireland that's selling very well, because people want slightly larger cars, people want SUVs. And what they've done with the Dacia Spring is they've actually made it kind of SUV looking. It's a bit higher off the ground as well, so you do have that better point of view when you're driving. It has four doors, it has a steering wheel. The base level version will have a cradle for your phone rather than a radio or an infotainment screen. So it's all about cost cutting, and even windy windows in the back on the base level trim.
Wow, windy windows, unheard of. Talk to me a little bit about the pricing, though, because there's been so much talk in the last little while about grants going away or changing how they work. And we know, like, one of the things that we often get into this show is just the cost of an EV versus a traditional car, in air quotes. So where are we at on that front?
Getting very close to price parity, and even have price parity, which means the petrol or diesel equivalent of a vehicle will say the Peugeot E2008, the automatic petrol version of that is the same price as the electric version. So if you start to get the same pricing for both, a lot of times people ask me about pricing and then they'll hear about the grants that are available. So there's a couple of different grants, the SEAI and the reduced VRT. Manufacturers will always advertise that price with the grants removed. They'll look after all of that paperwork. And then there's the different ways of financing it. There's HP, which is higher purchase, and then PCP, which is personal contract plan, which would probably be the most popular finance package in Ireland. And even on the Nevo website, we have the largest selection of PCP. So if you see the list price, we're talking about this Dacia Spring there, and it's coming in potentially, we haven't got the price confirmed yet, of around 20,000 euros. That's a very big number. People want to know, what's my monthly repayment on that? And what we have on Nevo is we have Bank of Ireland as our finance partner, and we have that PCP section there. And it's probably one of our most visited section on the website, because people, yes, they understand the list price, but they want to know, what's my monthly repayments actually going to be?
And I suppose that's what matters to people, especially at the moment where it feels like the cost of everything is going up. And remind us just again about the maths of owning an EV car and having the charger at home versus the cost of charging it out and about and so on.
Yeah, that, excuse me, they call that the total cost of ownership, that TCO. So when you're buying any vehicle, you should be looking at, okay, what's it going to cost me to buy it, to run it, to insure it, to tax it, to put tires on it, and to service it? If you go to a car wash, what's it going to cost me to car wash it every week or every month? So that total cost of ownership. And what we're finding is, because it's much cheaper to run an electric vehicle, if you get that overnight tariff, if you're lucky enough to be able to charge at home, it is working out a lot cheaper, 30 to 40% cheaper, depending on how your tariff is situated and how much mileage you do, because you're getting it easier and cheaper to run. The servicing really is a safety check, maybe every 12 months, depending on the manufacturer, will dictate how often that happens. So that total cost of ownership in a large number of cases is much cheaper than a petrol or diesel vehicle, but it's down to your individual use case. And like we've said over the years, Jess, it's very much about, okay, you're driving a petrol or diesel now, or even a hybrid, and you want to understand, okay, what is my running costs? Start to track it now for the next couple of months. And then you'll have a base figure that, you know, every month it costs me X, Y, or Z. Now, there will be seasonality in that as well, because in colder months, it will take more fuel to run your vehicle, be that electric, petrol, or diesel. And so understanding that total cost of ownership, it does take a bit of math. It does take a bit of calculating it out. But there's a number of websites out there that will help you with that as well.
We love a bit of math. I took a swing at some ugly EVs, but there's one that I really, really like the look of, and that is the Peugeot E5008 or 5008 or whatever way you want to say it. This is a beautiful looking car.
Yeah, a seven-seater, a lot of demand for seven-seaters in the Irish market, babies and bringing kids and their friends to football matches and to school and all the rest of it. So the 5008 traditionally was a petrol or diesel vehicle for Peugeot, one of the most popular vehicles they ever had. And now they're bringing it out in full electric. So the choice of more seven-seater electric vehicles is getting bigger and bigger. I was lucky enough to fly to Copenhagen and then drive it across the famous bridge to Sweden. Beautiful weather, beautiful drive, and a really great car. Lots of practical space in it as well. Now, controversially, one thing they've done is they've originally, the 5008 would have had three individual seats in the second row, each having their own ISOFIX point. So a lot of people liked to have the three baby seats in the middle row. What Peugeot have done, they've looked at the numbers and they said, actually, only 20% of our customers want that middle seat that's ISOFIX. And so they've removed it in favor of this, everything being able to fold and slide, 60-40 split independently. So some people aren't a fan of that, but overall, a beautiful local car underneath the new Peugeot design language. So very much like the new 3008 as well. And as you say, it's real style on the road, and you'll see a lot of the 5008 and E5008s on the Irish roads over the coming months.
Yeah, it is a lovely looking car, I have to say, and that is purely on a superficial level. The other car, and I don't know if we've spoken about it, because we speak about so many. Do you know what else is a nice looking car? Is the Nissan Qashqai.
Yes. Now, not in fully electric. It comes in what's called an e-Power. And what Nissan are doing is they have a little combustion engine in the front of the vehicle. And what that does is it converts petrol into electricity. And then the electricity will actually run the electric motor in it. Qashqai, yeah, Nissan are doing some nice stuff. The Ariya is their fully electric version. And they also have the Leaf, which is one of the most affordable electric vehicles in Ireland. There's some really great value on that at the moment, around 23,000 euros. And we're going to see a brand new electric Micra coming next year is what we're hearing.
Oh, that's quite thrilling. I think it's interesting to see the brands and the manufacturers looking to cater to people to try and ease them into their electric journey? Because as we've spoken about before, like you say it all the time, EVs aren't for everyone. Like you're not here to kind of push that agenda and say every single person should be driving or could be driving an EV right now. But it is interesting to see them trying to find compromises and let people dip their toe into it, I suppose.
Yeah, and you can see that with people trying out PHEV plug-in electric hybrids this time around, and they're realizing, you know what, I'll get a charger at home, I can use that cheaper tariff, I don't need to use that much mileage, actually I'm running electric about 90-95% of the time, and so it's a real gateway into the world of electric and electric vehicles. They get used to charging at home, they get used to driving electric, and so then our next vehicle then will be a fully electric vehicle.
Yeah. My colleague and dear pal, Neil Kavanagh, was at Goodwood last week. And it's funny, when I was there a few years ago, I remember there was this big hoo-ha because it was the first time they were showcasing the Mini Electric. And he was saying he was blown away by how dominant EVs were at Goodwood. It was no longer a little stand off in the corner. They were everywhere.
I was lucky enough to be there as well. MG Ireland brought me over to have a look at their new Cyber GTS concept. And they were also launching some other vehicles there as well. So it was my first time there. The theme for Goodwood this year, Festival of Speed, was from horsepower to hybrid. And they're very much playing into that. A lot of electric vehicles. BYD was there. A lot of other brands that we know in the Irish market were also. But it was MG's 100th year. And so it was great to celebrate that history with them on their stand. And it was a beautiful day. On the Thursday, I was there for the media day. But yeah, a lot of Polestar were there with their Polestar 6 BST edition, which is their beast edition, and a large number of other vehicles and EVs were there as well.
Yeah, it's good to see it becoming, you know, just part of the conversation, and it's no longer, as I said, that cousin who just pops by every once in a while. They are taking up space, they are dominating the conversation, and I think that does go a long way to help the education piece that we always talk about as well. Letting people who are car fanatics, you know, touch, feel, drive, get into them, understand how they work and so on. But there's another event where people who are interested in EVs can go and have a sniff around. And it happens to be an Evo event, and it's happening later this year.
Yeah, so we've got two events actually. At the Goodwood Festival of Speed, we had the first look at the Yangwang BYD. So BYD we know and love in the Irish market, got off to a great success. They have three models, the Dolphin, the Seal and the Atto 3. And now they've got their premium end of the market coming in called Yangwang. An interesting name, but mm-hmm. It is what it is. And they showed off their U8 and U9. So the U8 is a large SUV. It can do tank turns. Jess, what that means is the four wheels operate independently and it can literally turn on its own axis. So if you went down a one-way street, you flick a button and you're spinned around 180 degrees and you can drive out again. And so Wow. That's the U8. Now, that's a plug-in hybrid, but a large SUV, a motor on each wheel, 1,200 horsepower, 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 3.6 seconds, and it can float. So a lot of things there that will potentially be interesting to see. So that's the U8. And then we have the U9, which is their hypercar. 0 to 100 in about 2.6 seconds. Four independent motors, 1,300 horsepower. So the first time they were shown in Europe was at the Festival of Speed. We've got an exclusive event next Wednesday and Thursday here in Dublin with BYD North and BYD South Dublin. If you want to go along and see these two vehicles, you can head over to nevo.ie and have a look for the Yangwang article and you can register your interest there. Nowhere else is going to be seeing them. It's the only exclusive that you're going to get here. Jess, we're just putting that article out today. So exclusive of the exclusive. So great to start to bring those to the marketplace. And that you mentioned, we have our show on November the 10th coming up, where we're going to have a number of launches and first reveals to the Irish market. I'm just working with all the manufacturers at the moment to see, okay, what cars are you bringing in towards the end of this year and early next year? And what cars would you like to showcase at the show? Because we're expecting between 25 and 30,000 people to register for the event, and about 20,000 people to show up on the day because things happen. But yeah, a large number of people will be coming to the RDS in Simmons Court to see the Nevo electric vehicle show in partnership with Bank of Ireland. And I know you missed it in February, Jess. It was your birthday weekend. Hopefully we'll get you there this weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I actually would be so excited to go down and have a look around, and also just earwig on the conversations. This is something that we spoke about in the aftermath of your February event, which was just the conversations happening on the floor, whether it was people who were EV curious or EV fanatics. It always comes back to the same point when you and I talk, which is the education. Ask the stupid question, have the conversation, get the information you need, and then make an informed decision.
Yeah, we found about 40% of people at the February show were already EV drivers looking to upgrade to their next EV. 60% of people that showed up were interested in finding out more and asking the questions, how does the charger work in my home? How does the fast charger work on the motorway? What about the battery life? What about depreciation? What about used EVs? All of the things that we've chatted about for years, Jess. I always say every day is the first step of an EV journey for somebody. Mm-hmm. And listening back to your podcasts or looking at Nevo.ie or our YouTube channel, I have to not assume that people know everything. It could be their first day that they've decided, and somebody listening to this podcast or listening to us on the radio will hear, okay, I didn't realize that such and such a brand did this. I'm going to have to do a bit of research, and their next car might be electric. So no question is a stupid question. And we've doubled the amount of stages at the show. We had one stage last year for about 9 hours from 10 o'clock till about 5 o'clock. And we're doing the same again this year, but we're doubling up the number of stages because there was that much of educational content that people wanted. So we're really excited about it. And we can talk about it in more detail nearer to the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We will definitely give you as many sneak peeks as Derek will allow us to give you as the event draws closer. Briefly before you go, we have to talk about it because every other person is talking about it. The Ford Capri.
Yeah, interesting. It's definitely a talking point. I like it. The yellow, maybe not, but they've got a color called Blue My Mind, which I think looks very well. But there's a lot of people up in arms about the Ford Capri. They remember it from the 70s and 80s. It is nostalgic. It is a nameplate that Ford had cherished. And people are saying it's sacrilege that they've used it on a coupe SUV electric, 600 kilometer range, big boot, very comfortable, all the mod cons, Bang & Olufsen sound system. So yeah, joking aside, the designers looked at what the Capri finished at in the mid 80s and went, okay, if that car kept going and had iterations every 5 or 10 years, what would it look like in 2024? And as we both know, SUVs are the taste du jour at the moment for everybody. So it potentially could have gone this way. A lot of people are harking back to wanting this two-door electric sports car, but make it, but will people buy it? A lot of people want SUVs.
Okay, would you buy it? Email me, techtalk@newstalk.com. As ever, Derek Riley of Nevo.ie, thank you so much. Don't forget to go and check out Nevo.ie. Find the article if you're interested in going to the event that's taking place in Dublin next week. And we will, of course, bring you full updates and previews ahead of the November event. But for now, Derek, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, our book club is going to join me in just a quick second. But before we get to that, I just wanted to take a breath after what was an incredibly busy news week. Usually July and August are what we in the news business would call silly season, but it doesn't seem like there's any form of silly season this year. It started, in my head anyway, with that assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump on Saturday night into Sunday morning. The fallout from that, the investigations around that, the conversations around the Secret Service that came out of that. And then obviously we had the Republican National Convention on this week. News Talk's Josh Crosby was out there. He did some great reports across the schedule. But I was watching it all online. And I suppose it's not just in the context of the RNC, but in general, just question what you're seeing online. If it's not legit, if you can't stack it up, don't reshare it. Just don't. We're going to come back to this, obviously, over the next few weeks, but just wanted to put that out there. Right, Ciara Tracy and Cameron Hill are with me once again for our book club. Lads, how are we?
Not too bad.
Never better. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I think. I'll come back to you in 6 to 5 business days. We are obviously back together for our book club. And Ciara, this was your choice.
I apologise, first and foremost.
Yeah, and I think we should all add our apologies. If you read along with us, I do apologise for the waste of time. It's called The Hail Mary Project by Andy Weir. And before we get into thoughts and feelings, just set the scene for us.
Okay, so it's Project Hail Mary, and it came out in 2021. It is about a school teacher who wakes up in a spacecraft from a... I sound so unenthused. He wakes up from a spacecraft basically with amnesia. He's been in a coma for he doesn't know how long. And it's basically he pieced together it's about to be the human extinction on Earth, and he has been sent to find basically a cure for Earth. As it's in danger, and he finds out it's not just Earth in danger, and there's another life form out there who needs help too. Yes.
Now, we should just acknowledge, just before you instantly write it off, everybody, Andy Weir, like he does have form for writing some good ones.
Absolutely. Like The Martian got turned into a film. This has
if you're
been.
Listening, Andy.
This has actually been. This is going to get turned into a film as well with Ryan Gosling playing the main character, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And can I also just say, I was also fooled into buying this book because it has incredible reviews across the board. Like it's not too far off a 5 on most like Goodreads, Google reviews, everything like that.
Yeah. Cameron, had you read any of the other Andy Weir books?
No, and I haven't seen The Martian because it's the type of sci-fi that I know I suggested Hitchhikers before, which is the like the epitome
Literally.
Or the foundational text in science fiction writing. Mm. But this kind of sci-fi wouldn't necessarily appeal to me. And certainly reading this, it just wasn't my cup of tea. But I'd known about Andy Weir, and I knew he was of people who are au fait with the canon. They love his stuff.
Mm.
And I thought, okay, I'll give this a try and we'll see how we get on. But unfortunately didn't make it quite as far as I would have liked.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just delve into this because I went down the YouTube rabbit hole of reviews. So I just wanted to see what people thought about it.
Dedicated.
And like you said, it's universally beloved. And I couldn't get my head around it because the concept of it kind of makes me do my scowly face, which is my default face. But you know what I mean? And then when I got into it, and I tried to get into it.
I know.
I think the biggest thing is, and this is the exact opposite of the last book that we did, which was entirely different, which was the story of Lisa Brennan Jobs, Steve Jobs' daughter. Like, I was instantly invested in that story, in that book. And as we said, that could have just been the memoir of a girl. Like, it was beautiful storytelling.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the Steve Jobs connection, and you were invested. I couldn't bring myself to pretend to attempt to care about this.
I was exactly the same. I was finding myself after maybe chapter 2 going, I'm going to give this a go. And when you're like... Reading should be pleasurable and it should feel effortless. And I just felt like I was giving this book numerous chances.
I know.
I thought that was, we'd gotten off to the wrong foot if that's where we're thinking already.
But why? Because you are a bit of a sci-fi guy at times. So you said that this isn't the kind of sci-fi that you're into. Like, what? Explain what you mean by that.
I think there's a lot. So I wouldn't have been, I like sci-fi writing, but or just sci-fi culture generally.
Yeah.
I wouldn't love the kind of minutiae of science being explained most of the way through the book, and felt like even within the first 100 pages, I'd learned a lot about the what they're called nanophages.
Yeah.
Are these life forms that Ryland Grace discovers.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought, I'm sure this is important, but I really don't care.
Can I just say, I'm a massive sci-fi fan. I don't even like science.
Yeah.
The fact that I was being forced to learn science and it wasn't even real. I actually was not learning. This was all fictional, like science.
Like a Harry Potter world kind of thing.
Yeah, but even that has more colour and entertainment, whereas I was just like, ugh, this is loads of numbers and equations that I'm actually learning nothing. I'm not gaining anything from this.
I felt like it was too dense for me.
Yeah.
And not enough entertainment or drama or jeopardy, which when you read the blurbs of this book, you think, oh, this is going to be like, you know, heart pounding, edge of the seat, kind of like end of days type thing that would captivate you. But I found that the writing, I don't know if he was trying to be too smart.
I don't think it comes to life on the page. I think you'd have to have the way that the dialogue and the internal monologue was being written. Mm. I'd love to have heard this said by an actor or acted out by somebody, that it's like, I could buy into this. Whereas you can see where he's trying to be humorous and drag us into this world in a lighthearted way. It just wasn't working for me. I just thought, okay, you're trying, you're pulling the big one here. You're trying very hard to make this fun. And I don't know, it's when you see someone, like, obviously he's very highly regarded, but when you see someone, in my opinion, flailing like that, it's kind of unpleasant.
Yeah. But had you read Keira the Martian?
I hadn't, actually. I've been dying to read Andy Weir's books. And I think that was Project Hail Mary is the one that kept on coming up time and time again, that I was told, oh, you have to read this, along with Artemis, I think. Another one of his. But you guys have actually touched on two of my biggest gripes about this book in particular, which is way too dense when it comes to like scientific language. Again, it is completely fruitless as well. And then another thing is, I actually could not stand the character, the main character, Rylan Grace. He was, sometimes I think with especially male sci-fi writers, and this is actually so rude, but I think a lot of them like to think of themselves as these big, cool action men.
Yes.
And then they actually fail at writing these action men. So this is a character who consistently says stuff like, God damn it, flipping hell, and like just really cringy American, like, oh, like, just there was no swear, things like that. And it was just so cringe. Like, man, you are literally on this like suicide like mission.
And flip is all
you're saying. And I just found it so cringy. And this kind of like, you know, he's been too smart. He's like, wow, I am. Like, I was just cringing out. I hated him. But I actually loved the alien.
Okay. Explain using words.
Okay, so the alien is, for people that have not read it, kind of like a spider rock creature. Mm. Nonverbal, doesn't speak the human language, but makes weird noises. That is, yeah, how they even communicate, I don't know. But when they do manage to find a way to communicate and understand what each other are saying, this guy's called Rocky, right? This like nonverbal spider rock character. He is so funny. I actually laughed out loud at times when he'd be like communicating. I'd be like, you're actually a funny geese. I actually prefer you to this human that I can relate to. I actually was relating more to this, like, I don't even know, like this spider rock.
Yeah.
I don't know if you found this, and it's something that I always struggle with, and I know my peers and friends struggle with it too. Like, just learn how to write women.
Yeah.
Like, all of the women are either dead in this book or they're not very nice. Mm. Like, Ava Stratt is the big female presence in this, and just she just seems like a complete brick wall.
And she's the boss, right? So she's the one that's organizing this solo mission.
She seems to be the kind of, like, not the antagonist, but the antagonizing force to Ryland the whole time. Oh, just let me do my science kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me of Oppenheimer and how bad the female characters are in that. And I just thought, this is very frustrating. If you're, and you should, you don't have to feel this way, but if I was a female reader of this, reading this, I'd be like, oh, come on, bro. It's just,
but that's something,
dude,
that,
bro stuff.
But like, there are many books that I would feel that in as well. Like,
totally.
Some of the very, very famous crime writers. Like, I love sometimes delving into, you know, those pure page turner, chewing gum for the brain.
Yeah.
Someone's killed. Someone has to investigate who done it.
Mm. Yeah. Love it.
They are just chewing gum for the brain. But some of the most famous male writers can't write a three-dimensional female character. It's like the woman was stood in the kitchen and disappointed that John didn't come
home. I knew she was trouble when she walked in.
Taylor could actually do a great job with it. But I find that it is frustrating and it is disappointing, but it's not surprising in a lot of instances.
Yeah, truthfully, I hadn't even thought about the way the female characters were written, because I hated the main character, who was a guy, so much.
Mm.
And he was just cringe. Like, again, I think this is something that I have experienced sometimes with male sci-fi writers, and indeed male writers in general. But yeah, it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I was reading through some of the reviews, and for the New York Times, there was a sci-fi author who said, for readers who can forgive its shortcomings, the result is an engaging space odyssey.
I didn't get to that point, unfortunately.
Did you not finish it, Cameron?
No, as in I didn't feel particularly rewarded by it.
Oh no, not so. I felt punished.
Yeah, and they continue by saying an unforgettable story of survival and the power of friendship, nothing short of science fiction masterwork. Now, that's a big accolade.
I was wondering, have you read the right book?
Well, that's what I'm now wondering.
Honest to God, Jess.
But is there a case where, like, again, if you're a huge science fiction fan, I can see how this would appeal because it throws in the science part. It has an element of adventure. There's a lot of jumping and non-chronological storytelling, which I can, in the right hands can be fun. I think it's one of the best bits of Frankenstein, is the jumping around. But for someone who's only coming into it and maybe dips their toe once in a while into science fiction, like for me, it was just a tough read.
Honestly, I have to say, like, people say that they don't like sci-fi exactly for reasons like that book. Because if I was to, I'm actually sorry I recommended it to you guys, anyone else who did. But like, I have so many friends who are like, oh, I hate sci-fi. And they get, I'm like, no, you just haven't read the right kind. Like,
yeah.
It can actually be so fun. And I'm actually going to do some proper research and get a really nice one for us next time around. But
you should do that.
Yeah, because this is shocking.
If you have a recommendation for us, what is the best sci-fi book you have ever read? Email me techtalk@newstalk.com because I'm actually revoking book recommendation privileges from both Kira and Cameron.
I deserve it.
Having come on to a winner last time, but anyway.
You've had one win.
You've
had one.
50%
record. I did pick the Ian Reid book. That was quite good the first time round.
No, your privileges have been revoked. Yeah, that's how good it was.
The adults in the room.
So this one is called Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Did you read it? Did you like it? Let me know, techtalk@newstalk.com. I'm picking the next book, right? And it's a book. It's actually one of my favourite books.
Oh.
And it's another true story. It's like inside one of the most interesting characters from Silicon Valley in the last whatever amount of years. I don't know if you've read it yet. It's called Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup by John Carreyrou. We've spoken about it a number of times on this program in the context of Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes. Okay.
You know Elizabeth Holmes?
Yes, please.
No.
Theranos. So she was purported to be the next Steve Jobs.
Wow.
She had this vision for a blood diagnostics med tech company.
Oh, is this Dropout?
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, I love Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going behind to meet the actual Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes.
John Carreyrou led the reporting. He's a journalist who reported on this before anybody cared about it.
Wow.
And this is the comprehensive guide to the Elizabeth Holmes story. I have read it. I have listened to the audiobook and I have reread it.
Oh my God.
And every single time I kind of get shivers because it's excellent journalism. It's batshit crazy what went on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the sign and a symptom of one of the biggest issues in the world of tech, which is if you talk a good game, doors will open for you. It doesn't matter if you can walk the talk, it's all about the talk. And there are some very well-known public figures, technological figures, political figures, a whole spectrum of people are featured in this story. And there are twists and turns that you can't even anticipate.
Wow. And it's a work of nonfiction.
100%. This is a journalistic reporting based on research and interviews and documents and, hearings and testimony and all that kind of stuff. It's the compilation. It's the comprehensive guide to the story of Elizabeth Holmes. And as a tech fan, I just cannot get enough of it. And I would love to hear what you guys make of it because I think it's like incredibly well written. And I would recommend either or the audiobook or the paperbook. But that is our next book club pick. As I said, it's Bad Blood by John Carreyrou. And I cannot wait to hear what you guys think about it.
I'm so excited. Like, actually, my jaw was pretty much open.
I'm strapped in. I'm ready to
go. Yeah, honest to God, you sold me, Jess Kelly.
Definitely.
Okay, quick. We're going to meet again on the first week of August. We will have our next book club. If you want to read along with us, please do drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. And again, any recommendations for non-crap sci-fi, that
Sorry
is
again.
The email. For the moment, Cameron and Kira, thanks, I think.
Thank you, I believe.
It was somewhat fun.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
I don't normally do these kind of speeches, but this feels like a big moment, and if it all turns to shit, I might not see any of you again. You're fucking useless, the lot of you. Working with you has been the lowest point and a disappointing career. Right. Can't write, you're with me.
That is, of course, Slow Horses from Apple TV. If you haven't watched the first three series, it is worth a month's subscription to Apple. I have highly enjoyed all three. Jackson Lamb is one of the most entertaining TV characters in the last number of years. The entire cast is pretty incredible. The storyline is great. There's a few laugh out loud moments. It's just got everything. But it's been confirmed that the fourth series will be out in the first week of September. September 4th, we will get an all new series of Slow Horses. And I cannot wait, because I, you know, the way John is usually in at this time to tell me what's coming up on his show, I kind of, despite all the great movies and TV shows that he talks about, there hasn't been anything that's gripped me, I don't think, since Succession. Now, I know I did talk about The Jinx a fair bit, but that was a short run. But I kind of want a TV show to binge again. And I definitely did that with the previous seasons of Slow Horses. I started watching Barry on HBO the other day, which is the TV show hosted, or the TV show starring Bill Hader, formerly of Saturday Night Live. And it's kind of a weird comedy drama thing where a former Marine who's a hitman gets into acting. I'm four episodes in and I'm enjoying it so far, to be honest. But again, the episodes are, I think it's like 26 minutes once you take the ads out. So if there's any meaty TV shows that I should be watching, let me know. You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. We are going to answer some of your questions now in just a quick second. But before we do, I just wanted to talk briefly about the outage that occurred on Friday. You will absolutely know about it, I'm sure, by now. But at around midnight Irish time, coming into Friday morning, there was a massive outage impacting millions of people around the world. The source of it was CrowdStrike, which is a cybersecurity company. They pushed an update on one of their products and it led to their customers facing massive outages. So if their customers were using Windows PCs, they were faced with the blue screen of death, which is the boot screen that appears when a system is updating and the update fails or stalls for whatever reason. This grounded flights, it impacted banking, it impacted the health service in the UK, people couldn't do their shopping in Australia. And it was a really interesting one to watch because, firstly, there was a sense of relief that it wasn't a hack or an attack. That is something that I was, you know, when I woke up at 6 o'clock or whatever time it was on Friday, the first thought you have when you see something like this is, oh my days, is it an attack? And what is it going to mean? Because we here in this country are obviously only too familiar with the devastation that a cyber attack can have. But thankfully, that's not what this was. It was a simple snag in an update. CrowdStrike did put their hands up and acknowledge the issue. They managed to isolate it. They managed to roll out a fix. And by late enough on Friday afternoon, that fix was being rolled out. So the likes of Ryanair were able to start allowing check-in again, remote check-in online. But it does remind you of just how reliant we are on different digital services and how all it takes is just one domino to fall and then there's mass disruption. I do hope that businesses, even if they weren't impacted on Friday, that they are assessing their own situations and that they're figuring out their plan B, C, D and E, because, you know, as I said to Kieran Cuddy on Friday, it's not enough to just have one system in place. If anyone is using any form of technology that's connected to the internet in any way, shape or form, these things can happen. Software updates can have bugs. You know, cyber attacks can happen. Hacks can happen. So we just need to make sure that we, the humans, are resilient and can adapt and respond to it and hopefully encounter as least the least amount of disruption possible. But it definitely was a bit of a stressful situation I was watching Sky News when it came back on air, and it was just mad to see the presenters. You know, there was no graphics, there was no moving cameras. They were reading from their phones and paper scripts. And I guess, you know, for me, as someone who's always talking about technology, it was just, I suppose it reminded me of how much tech we don't even see anymore. Like, you, when you're watching the news, are you really thinking about the snazzy computer that's running the graphics or the robot that's controlling the cameras and all that kind of jazz? Yeah. I guess time will tell. The consequences of that attack, and indeed the ultimate cause, and what can be done to prevent it from happening again. But I'd love to know your thoughts. What did you make of it? Were you impacted? You can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. And speaking of that email address, we're going to go to some of your questions. First up this week is Jean Stapleton. Jean says, hoping you can help me. I bought an eSIM compatible phone, the Motorola G54. But whilst the phone is eSIM compatible, I can't get an eSIM provider for US coverage. Travelling on Monday and would appreciate the help. Firstly, I'm very jealous of your travels. Secondly, when you say eSIM provider that will work in America, Gomo World is the one that I've mentioned a few times, and it's great. I used it myself when I was in Boston and Austin with Kieran when was I there? Was it in April of this year? And it worked really, really well. It was very affordable. So if you go to the App Store on your phone and if you search for Gomo World, download it. Then once it's on the phone, open it out and select the country that you're going to, which is obviously the US. And then you select the data plan that you want. So I think I got, was it 7 gigs of data for 15 days or was it 15 gigs of data for 7 days? It was one of those two and it cost me €7 and it was great. It was completely seamless as a service and I would highly recommend it. So again, it's called Gomo World. Download the app and you are laughing. Next, we have an email here from Kaylin who says, have you tried the new Samsung Galaxy Buds Pro 3? Are they worth the money? So Kaylin, I have. They arrived on the desk on, was it Wednesday of this week? And I've been using them ever since. They are gorgeous. They are definitely different from the two, the Buds 2 Pro, which, as I mentioned on the show last week, I have been a huge fan of for quite some time. But the design of these is different. They do have the stem, which is kind of reminiscent of the AirPods. So they have the little stem that comes down. They're not actual buds the way the Buds Pro 2 were. But they are very, very comfortable. They pair instantly. The sound quality is great. What I will say, and this is a tiny little me being a moan, the shape of the stem of the headphone is kind of triangular. So you have to pay attention when you're putting the headphones back into the case. With the little buds, you kind of just drop them in and they'd sort of magnetically pull into the right place. So you just need to pay attention. But that is a teeny tiny little design feature. They're €259. So they're not cheap, but they are incredibly comfortable. I haven't gone running with them yet is my only thing. I'm hoping to do that at some stage, maybe today or tomorrow. And I will have the comprehensive review for you on Tuesday's Pat Kenny Show. But my first impression is, yes, they are great. They are beautiful. And the sound quality is class. So yeah, I hope that helps. If you do have any questions for me at any stage, please do drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. I'll be back with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.